What if you could design a new drug in weeks instead of years? What if you could target diseases once thought to be completely undruggable? It sounds like science fiction, but as of this week, it's a commercial reality. The race isn't just about discovery anymore, it's about the AI-powered platforms that are fundamentally changing the economics of medicine and manufacturing. For Western companies, the question is simple. Are you leading this race, or are you about to be left behind? Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology developments shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy. This week, we're tracking three critical shifts. First, the AI drug discovery revolution is moving out of the lab and into human clinical trials, creating an urgent need for new competitive strategies. Second, a massive global realignment in biopharmaceutical manufacturing is underway, with major capacity expansions in both Europe and Asia that will redefine supply chains. And third, a new class of medicine, targeted protein degraders, is advancing in the clinic, promising to treat diseases previously considered untouchable. Let's begin with the AI revolution.
Troy, we've seen a flurry of announcements this week. It feels like AI and drug discovery has hit an inflection point. Can you connect the dots for us?
Absolutely. We're seeing three distinct phases of drug R&D being accelerated by AI, and each phase is represented by a key development this week. First is target identification. On June 3rd, In Silico Medicine announced its AI platform, PandaOmics, identified a completely novel therapeutic target for fibrotic diseases. This is the very first step in creating a new drug.
And why isn't AI finding a target a big deal? Don't scientists do this all the time?
They do, but it's traditionally a high-cost, low-success process that takes years. PandaOmics did it by analyzing vast biological datasets to find a previously unknown pathway. This isn't just faster. It's smarter, uncovering biology that human-led methods miss.
So that's step one. What's next?
Step two is designing a drug for that target. On May 30th, Recursion Pharmaceuticals initiated a phase one clinical trial for a cancer drug designed entirely by its AI platform. This is a huge milestone. It's one of the first AI-generated therapeutic candidates to actually be tested in humans. It moves AI from a research tool to a tangible drug creation engine.
And the third development?
That comes from a BioArchive preprint published June 1st. Researchers used Google DeepMind's AlphaFold not just to predict a protein structure, but to optimize it as a therapeutic for autoimmune diseases. It showed remarkable efficacy in animal models. This is about engineering better, more stable, and more effective biologic drugs faster.
Okay, so we have AI identifying targets, designing small molecules, and engineering large molecule proteins. How does this specifically affect U.S. and European manufacturers in the pharma space?
It's a fundamental threat and opportunity. European and U.S. pharma companies who fail to integrate these AI platforms into their R&D pipelines will face a crippling disadvantage in speed and efficiency. Their competitors will be identifying better targets and designing superior drug candidates in a fraction of the time. The opportunity is for manufacturers who can pivot to produce these novel AI-designed molecules, which may have unique production requirements.
What about trading companies and distributors in the life sciences sector?
They need to be scouting these AI-native biotech firms like In Silico and Recursion as future partners or acquisition targets. The market timing is critical. These platforms are now generating real clinical assets. Sourcing partnerships for these new drugs need to be established now, not when they are in phase three. Understanding the AI engine behind a drug candidate is now as important as understanding its clinical data.
So, what's the actionable insight for an executive listening right now?
Executives must immediately audit their company's AI readiness and R&D. Are you building, buying, or partnering? You need a clear strategy. For manufacturers, this means engaging with these AI-first biotechs to understand their future manufacturing needs. The compounds they are designing may not fit traditional production lines. You need to adapt your capabilities or risk being designed out of the supply chain.
Let's shift from discovery to production, Troy. We're seeing massive capital investments in manufacturing capacity. It feels like a global chess game. What are the key moves this week?
There are three, and they signal a major geographic realignment. First, in Europe, Lonza announced on June 1st that its new facility in Visp, Switzerland is now operational. This adds over 200,000 liters of biopharmaceutical manufacturing capacity. This is a major move to onshore and strengthen the European supply chain for complex biologics like monoclonal antibodies.
A 200,000-liter expansion is huge, so Europe is shoring up its own capabilities. What are the other moves?
The other two are in Asia, and they are just as significant. On June 4th, Business Korea reported that Samsung Biologics has secured a multi-year contract with a major global pharma company for large-scale mRNA vaccine manufacturing. And on June 5th, WuXi Biologics in China announced its new dedicated manufacturing facility for antibody drug conjugates, or ADCs, is complete and ready for operation.
So we have a Swiss giant doubling down on traditional biologics, a Korean powerhouse capturing the next generation mRNA market, and a Chinese leader building specialized capacity for complex cancer drugs. What does this mean for U.S. and European manufacturers?
It means the competitive landscape for contract manufacturing, the CDMO market, is heating up intensely. Lonza's move strengthens European self-sufficiency, which is a clear advantage. However, the moves by Samsung and WuXi are a direct challenge. They are not just competing on cost anymore. They are competing on cutting-edge technology platforms like mRNA and ADCs. U.S. and European manufacturers must defend their leadership in these advanced modalities or risk losing high-value contracts to Asian CDMOs.
So if I'm a U.S. pharma company, why wouldn't I just go with the cheapest option in Asia?
You might, but you're trading cost for risk. Supply chain security is paramount, especially after the pandemic. Relying solely on Asian manufacturing hubs introduces geopolitical risk and logistical complexity. The strategic play for U.S. and European firms is to build resilient, dual-source supply chains. That's why Lonza's expansion is so important for the region.
What should Western trading companies and distributors be paying attention to here?
They need to map this new capacity. Who has the specialized capabilities for the next wave of drugs? If you're distributing ADCs, knowing WuXi's new facility is online is critical. If you're involved in RNA, Samsung Biologics just became an even more important global hub. Sourcing and partnership decisions must reflect this new global map of manufacturing expertise. You can't assume capacity for these new drugs exists where it used to.
Actionable insight?
For manufacturing executives in the U.S. and Europe, it's time to invest in specialization. You cannot compete with the scale of Samsung or the cost structure of WuXi on generic biologics. You must invest in advanced platforms, cell and gene therapy, complex ADCs, novel RNA modalities, to create a defensible market position. For sourcing executives, you must reevaluate your supply chain for geopolitical risk and single-source dependency. The time to secure redundant high-tech manufacturing partners in the West is now.
Troy, our final segment is about a new class of drugs that target what used to be called undruggable proteins. This week, two U.S. companies, Arvinas and Kymera, both hit major milestones. What exactly are they doing?
They are leaders in a field called targeted protein degradation. Traditional drugs are inhibitors. They block a harmful protein's function. Protein degraders are fundamentally different. They don't just block the protein, they harness the cell's own garbage disposal system to destroy it completely.
So it's the difference between putting a roadblock in front of a car versus having the car towed and scrapped.
Exactly. And this allows you to go after proteins that have been impossible to drug with inhibitors. On June 6th, Arvinas announced it received FDA clearance to begin trials for ARV-102, an oral PROTAC protein degrader for neurodegenerative diseases like Parkinson's. It's designed to eliminate the LRRK2 protein.
A PROTAC?
It stands for proteolysis targeting chimera. It's a molecule with two heads. One grabs the target protein, LRRK2, and the other grabs a component of the cell's disposal machinery, an E3 ligase, bringing them together to trigger destruction.
And what was the news from Kymera?
On June 2nd, Kymera Therapeutics announced it has initiated a phase 1 trial for its oral STAT3 degrader. STAT3 is a protein that drives many types of cancer, but it's been notoriously difficult to inhibit. By degrading it, Kymera hopes to offer a new treatment for very difficult-to-treat malignancies.
Two different companies, two different diseases, but the same underlying technology. How does this affect larger U.S. and European pharmaceutical manufacturers?
This is a disruptive new modality. Large pharma companies need to either develop their own protein degradation platforms, which is difficult and slow, or acquire or partner with companies like Arvinas and Kymera. The competitive threat is that these smaller biotechs could solve major diseases that have stumped big pharma's R&D engines for decades. It creates a new axis of competition.
What should trading companies and distributors in the pharmaceutical space take from this?
They should recognize that a new category of therapeutics is entering the clinic.
These aren't just new drugs. They are a new class of drug with different mechanisms and potentially different side effect profiles. They need to start building expertise now to understand how these drugs will be used, priced, and positioned in the market. This is a ground floor opportunity.
So the actionable insight for executives is?
For R&D and business development executives at pharmaceutical companies, the time to act on protein degradation is over. The technology is already in the clinic. You should be aggressively pursuing licensing and M&A opportunities in this space. For investors and distributors, this is the time to identify the platform leaders. The validation from these early clinical trials will create enormous value, and being early is a significant advantage.
All right, Troy, let's distill this week into a strategic summary. What are the key takeaways for U.S. and European executives?
I have three. First, the AI drug discovery engine is now fully operational. We've moved from theoretical promise to validated targets, AI-designed molecules in human trials, and AI-optimized proteins. The competitive gap between companies using these tools and those who aren't will now widen exponentially.
Second,
the global biomanufacturing map is being redrawn. While Europe is solidifying its regional capacity with investments like Lonza's, South Korean and Chinese CDMOs are aggressively capturing market share in next-generation platforms like mRNA and ADCs. This creates both a supply chain risk and a competitive threat that Western firms cannot ignore.
And the third key takeaway?
A new therapeutic paradigm, targeted protein degradation, is clinically validated and moving forward. Companies like Arvinas and Chimera are proving it's possible to destroy previously undruggable proteins that drive cancer and neurodegenerative disease. This isn't an incremental improvement. It's a step change in what is therapeutically possible.
So, what should executives be doing this week?
First, benchmark your R&D pipeline against the speed and novelty being generated by AI platforms. If you're not a leader, partner with one immediately. Second, stress test your manufacturing supply chain for geographic and technological dependency and invest in specialized, high-value capabilities at home. Finally, task your strategy teams with evaluating how new modalities like protein degradation will disrupt your existing markets and create new ones.
And that's our briefing for this week. The pace of technological change is accelerating, and staying ahead requires not just information, but intelligence. Thank you for joining us.
We'll be back next week with analysis of the developments that matter most to your business. Follow Troy Technical Intelligence on your podcast platform of choice so you never miss a briefing.
Until then, I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy. Goodbye.